Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, March 7th, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics, and we are on page 83, the third full paragraph, beginning with, "There may be some wrongs," through one paragraph, ending with, "We don't crawl before anyone." We're reading and commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers are Penny L.C. reading the text, Julie E.B. reading page 164, and Eileen M. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Robin P. this morning. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, March 6, 2025, is 22,230 or 22230. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,232 or 22232. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Excuse me, at a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, and thank you, Stephanie, for your service. This is Terry G., food addict, Pensacola, Florida. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people, whoever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be of service. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G. And I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Stephanie. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan. And these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon all unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Tanya P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you please keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 83, the third full paragraph, beginning with through one paragraph, ending with, we don't crawl before anyone. And we're going to read and comment on just that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. There may be some wrongs we can never fully right. We don't worry about them. If we can honestly say to ourselves that we would write them if we could. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter, and there may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases, but we don't delay if it can be avoided. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. And in reflection, I know that, this for me, this is our wrap-up of directions for making amends. And these points are given to help us be prepared for whatever outcomes we may encounter. There were amends for me that I couldn't make directly. For example, families that I had babysat for and raided the food in their homes repeatedly. And so because I can't get in touch with them, I have no means to know where they are or how to reach them, or much less for sure proper names. It's been so many decades. I make food bank donations regularly, but would have appreciated making direct amends if it was possible. And this is also an example of why we work with sponsors to help guide us through the process. You know, when an old coworker turned me down from communicating with them, my sponsor reassured me that I had done what I could and not to push, but to write out what I would have said given the opportunity. However amends turn out, my part is to make my best effort, as mentioned here, to operate by spiritual principles, including for me, being just, honest, and forthcoming, all the while remaining humble. The blessing of this challenging work is the release I received from these burdens of shame and guilt and remorse that I had carried for so long. And it was followed by a new level of ease and freedom. Freedom from those heavy burdens, but also the ease of just how I felt about myself having done what I could do. And it carries forward, you know, it's been a long time since I've made the majority of my amends. But I continue to make the living amends daily. And I have been grateful for every amends I have made, including the one this week to the pharmacist, where there had been a problem with my prescription. And it turned out she hadn't even noticed my curt, what I thought was a sharp tone of voice. And she thanked me for being considerate, you know. So there's the gift of being able to do life differently today, thanks to this program of recovery. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Penny LC. Great way to get us started. So we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow as much time as possible for others to share. I'll remind you when your time is. And if you would like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Betsy H.
Okay, gotcha, Betsy. And where are you calling from?
California.
California. Okay. And who else would like to share?
Sherry H.M. Washington.
Could you repeat your first name? It was kind of muffled.
Sherry H.M.
Gotcha. In Washington?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, gotcha. Sherry H.M. in Washington.
Eileen M.
I've got you, Eileen. And where are you calling from?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Okay. Anyone else want to get in on this first lineup?
This is Julie E.B.
All right, Julie. And Julie, you're calling from?
Colorado Springs.
Colorado. All right. So we've got Betsy H., Sherry H.M., Eileen M., and Julie E.B. We'll start with Betsy H., followed by Sherry H.M. Good morning, Betsy.
Hi, this is Betsy H. from California. And I really felt inspired by this paragraph today because I like how it talks about being sensible. And when thinking about making amends, it can be scary. You know, it's a ego buster to have to go and admit that I was wrong. And when I made amends, I did go back to roommates and paid them for food that I had taken from them, you know, when we were living together. and apologize. And, you know, and admitting that I had done that was embarrassing. And I made amends to a restaurant where I had worked, and I had stolen food from them. And it was such a great experience. You know, it seems like the worst experience to admit all these embarrassing things I've done, but then it's actually like cleansed me of that, and I didn't have to carry that shame, and I don't have to overeat over it. That's the biggest benefit. And it says we should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble with.
Betsy, I think you got muted. Betsy, can you hit star one or unmute?
Oh, hi. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
There you are. Now we can hear you. Please continue.
Okay. I understand servile and scraping to mean like excessively willing to please people or to serve people, and kind of like being a slave. And it says, as God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. And I feel really inspired by that because it's so balanced, because my addict mind is very extreme, and I'll think I'm better than people. I know better than them on one hand. And then the next minute I'll think, oh, I'm the worst person in the world. I'm such a loser. And I'll just seesaw like that. But this is so balanced, and I can just stand on my feet. I don't have to crawl before anyone. And kind of like in another part of the book where it says we don't apologize to anyone for depending on God, our higher power. So this is a very freeing step to do, step nine. And I can... I think I've never regretted, you know, making amends. It's always been a positive experience, and I will pass. Thank you.
Well, perfect timing, Betsy H. in California. Thank you. Next, we have Sherry H. M., followed by Eileen M. Good morning, Sherry. And Sherry, you need to hit star one to unmute, please.
Okay, there we go. Sorry. Sherry H.M., Washington State. Gratefully recovered, compulsive overeater. And I love how the big book talks about people have recovered many, many, many times. So anyway, there may be some wrongs we could never fully right. I was about, I don't know, 15 or something, and my boyfriend and I went out for fast food somewhere, and I don't know what happened. I do know what happened, actually. There was some big stuff going on in my family at the time, and because of that trauma, I just took the ketchup bottle. It was so weird, and I just, like, made a ton of ketchup all over the table. It was just the weirdest thing, because I was usually... I didn't do things wrong because, you know, there was so much shame if I did that. So anyway, I forgot all about that. And then about a year or so ago, I remembered, oh gosh, yeah, I did that. How do I make an amends for that? And I couldn't think of anything, but I prayed about it, and I decided to just, our church has a youth program, and I thought, okay, I'm going to just write them a check for $100, even though it wasn't $100, you know, much less than $100 than I used up, but, you know, just for the heart of it. And then about a week later, I found out that the youth group needed, they were each trying to raise $100 to go to this retreat. And so it just was a beautiful, you know, full circle. And anyway, so right now I try to make living amends, you know, show up differently, show up in the recovery that I've received from God and you guys. So thank you so much, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry H.M. from Washington. Next, we've got Eileen M., followed by Julie E. B. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. So this is such a good paragraph, and I'm thinking about, like, why do we need to do this challenging task? And, you know, this whole amends process is part of, it's cleaning up the past, you know, and, what really struck me this morning was the sentence that says, we don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we would write them if we could. I really like that because, not worrying about the amends is really truly turning over the outcome and kind of letting God handle it. And, you know, if that person is supposed to be presented to me, they will be. You know, and it says, you know, we must be considerate. I was thinking about this, you know, I've been working with my higher power to change this particular behavior that I was doing in this old relationship so that I'm not repeating it in my current relationship. So I had this relationship with this man who lives in my town. I live in a really small city in New Hampshire, and this man had gotten married, and I owed him amends, but after consulting with my sponsor and several fellows, I realized, we don't make amends at the expense of other people. It says except when to do so would injure them or others. So, I'm not going to go after somebody who's married and involve the other person. So it's really interesting. I've seen him several times because, I live in this really small town. And I've seen him, every time I see him, he's with his wife. So, it's not like I'm not going to approach him. But, the thing is that I would honestly, if God presented him by himself somewhere, I would definitely make amends to him. It was interesting, several years later after I wrote this inventory, I saw his parked car outside of my doctor's office. And I was coming out of the office, and it was in the summer. And his car has this very distinctive license plate, so I knew it was his car. And, of course, I didn't know if, he was with other people. So I was sitting down on this bench, and I just got really quiet with God. And I just, I decided to send him, like, this loving-kindness prayer. And it just felt really, really good, and really, I felt really peaceful doing that. And then I called a fellow in OA who knew about the situation, and it just felt really good to do that. So I wanted to share that today, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Next, we've got Julie E. B. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E. B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. I'm really grateful for this paragraph, for the entire amends process, allowing me to live a more, it's not just honest life, but transparent life, which is something that I've been working on. And so I think it's really important that, I'm gratefully recovered. I have flaws and I have character defects. But with the help of this process, I can sort through the fact that I am not the flaw. I have flaws. Not the mistake. I make mistakes. And so that's what not worrying about this means. For me, the wrongs that I can never make right are the effects that I had in this disease and in my disease thinking, and have sometimes too, with my family, particularly my kids. And, they have seen the changes I've made over the last 8 years in this program. And in recovery, and in fact, but I still have that part inside of me operates out of anger and fear and guilt instead of operating out of the love my higher power has for me. This is a season for that love, because the spiritual awakening for me came with identifying with a God whose grace gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And part of the words in this paragraph, the descriptors, about that life of moderation really reminds me of that kind of way of being in the world. And I failed at that yesterday. But on the other hand, there was a lot of attacking going on. So I'm just going to kind of hold my counsel for now and not be servant scraping and apologize for, because I didn't say anything insulting. It was a difficult interaction. And just see where my higher power leads me, because for me, the urgency is a lie. So I am working to make amends to my young adults by being emotionally sober and trustworthy, not looking to them for reassurance, just being a growing, unfolding child of the universe, resting in the hands of a loving God. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie B. from Colorado. And if you're just joining us, let me fill you in on where we're at. We are on page 83 in the big book. We read the third full paragraph, beginning with, there may be some wrongs, ending with, we don't crawl before anyone. And we're focusing our shares, we're commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And if you would like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Wendy M.
Lisa P.
I heard Wendy M. And who was after Wendy? There was I heard another name, but I didn't catch it.
This is Judy J. Judy spelled with an I, from North Central Illinois.
What was your last initial, Judy?
J as in Judy.
Gotcha. Judy with an I. Got ya. From Illinois. Gotcha. I thought there was someone else in there, too. Did I miss someone? I have Wendy and Judy.
Hi. Lisa P. from Florida.
Gotcha, Lisa.
Michelle C. from California.
I got you, Michelle. Do we have anyone else who wants to get in on this lineup?
Oh, can you hear me, Stephanie? I'm sorry. Dion.
Yes, who is this?
Dion.
Gotcha, Dion. And where are you calling from?
Georgia. Mm-hmm.
Georgia.
State of Georgia. Yes, ma'am.
Gotcha. Dion. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. I've got Wendy M., Judy J., Lisa P., Michelle C., and Dion R. We're going to start with Wendy M., followed by Judy J. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Stephanie. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
Oh, good, good. Okay, thanks, Stephanie. So I'm Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. It's so sweet. I'm so nervous. A wrong I couldn't write exactly was to my father who passed away. And I wrote him a letter. I went to the cemetery, and I don't know that I bawled my eyes out harder. It was great. Like, oh, good, that was for me, not for him, you know. But it was the right thing to do. It felt exactly right. I named everything that I did to my father. And as somebody said, I also have a living amends for my father, you know, so that can continue. And then yesterday I had a fairly large amend to make. And, you know, it says don't delay. I'm a big fan of don't delay when I work with sponsees. It's like we do it now. We really do. I mean, it's on God. It's a God's errand, and we do it when God says to do it. But, you know, as a liar, as an addict, I can easily make up reasons not to do the amends. So yesterday, yeah, and I was like, well, if I just talk to 10 more people, it'll be better, you know. And what was I avoiding? I was avoiding the uncomfortable feelings that I had yesterday when I finally made the amends. And the thing that the person said to me the whole time was, oh, my God, you're so honest. I so appreciate your integrity. You know, meanwhile, I'm like, she's not going to like me. She'll never like me again. You know, of course, thinking of what's going to happen to Wendy. And I have to say, making an amends like that, making any amends, there's something, I mean, if you're humble, right? You're humble and you're facing up, you know, because I'm into image management. I'm really nice. I promise I won't do anything wrong. And that's how, you know, how I can control the situation. Well, I owned up to something that I did. And you feel amazing afterwards. I talk about it like my insides can match my outsides for the first time. And that's really a huge piece because an amends is honesty, right? It's taking what was for me a big lie for a long time and being honest with another human being. There's nothing like it. And when I get honest like that, that's when I get God. And God is shining down, saying, yes, do this. It's the right thing to do. And I also love at the end, crawling, scraping. I love that because those were my strategies on how to control other people. I would. That's what I did. You know, that's how I tried to manage and control and fix, especially what you thought of me. I'll do anything. I'll crawl. I'll scrape. And today I don't do that at all. You know, because I was on God's errand yesterday. That's what God wanted me to do. What's my assignment? That was my assignment. With that, I pass.
Oh, perfect timing, Wendy. I'm from Colorado. Next, we've got Judy J, followed by Lisa P. Good morning, Judy with an I.
Good morning. This is Judy with an I from, as I said, North Central Illinois. Thank you for your service. When I was reading this paragraph today, I thought of one of the first really tough amends that I had to make. I'd been making amends, and this one kept coming up, so I approached my sponsor. And I said, oh, man, I don't want to do this. And she said, well, let's just write a letter, and you read it to me before you do anything. So I did, and I read it to her, and she says, it's up to you. I think you're ready. I still didn't want to do it. It was with my boss. I had actually taken some money out of petty cash when I was 20 years old, and I'm 76. This amends took place a long time ago, but it still is with me, the results of doing the work of the 12 steps. And so I didn't know how to find him. He had left the area, no family around where I lived and where his business was. And so I thought, okay, I know where he went to school, so I thought maybe they would be able to let me know something. And I was all ready. I had prayed about it, talked to my sponsor about it, and meditated about it. I knew I was ready because God had shown me that this was what I needed to do, and I wanted this. I wanted recovery. So I was ready to call the school. And about 2 days later, we get a paper. It's 50 miles away from us, but we get it like 2 or 3 times a week. Oh, my gosh, his obituary was in it. And I thought, oh, my gosh. I mean, it just threw me. I wanted to talk to my sponsor. She was working. I just sent her a text. I said, I need to talk to you. And I knew God was so working in that, not to give me a pass, but she said, what are you going to do? I said, I think I'm going to write, because there was in the obituary, there was no memorial or anything like that to donate to. So I decided to do a memorial to an organization that I am close to. When I walked down to our mailbox, we were very rural, and put that envelope in my mailbox, I just kind of held on to the mailbox. It was such a strong feeling of you're on the right course. Your higher power is with you. It showed me the program, the steps, showed me what I needed to do. I asked for help. I prayed about it. I was afraid of the outcome, and yet it was so beautiful for me. So when I walked back to the mailbox, I mean, I just started crying. It wasn't anything to do with what happened. It was a validation for my higher power that it works if you work it. So I encourage everyone to do what the steps tell you, your sponsor, mentor, however you have that set up. But in the long run, it's helped me. That experience has helped me with so many other relationships.
That's right.
And I, do it right away. Take care of business. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Judy J. from Illinois. Next, we've got Lisa P., followed by Michelle C. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, this is Lisa P. from Florida, a food addict. I'm grateful to be at this meeting. I sometimes don't like to share because I get too busy thinking about what I'm going to say and miss really important information. But I love this paragraph at the end, how it talks that we stand before God. We don't fall. We don't gravel. And I read it. I feel it, but when I hear everybody sharing on it, it really illuminates it. So many different views of that small sentence, and it brings up so much. And I have a very addict mind. Either I'm the best or I'm the worst, and there's absolutely not one drop of a middle. Just like in my whole life, it's either this way or that way. So standing before God as one of God's people makes me feel worthy of God's love, that I deserve it too. Just because I've done wrong things doesn't mean that I am not worthy of God's love. And that seems to be a never-ending theme for me. And so I knew have really been working the program hard. Yesterday was a very trippy day. It was a very day that I almost went back to the madness, and I didn't because of a great sponsor, fellows, listening to the meeting, so powerful. I'm praying to God. I'm listening. So thank you all very much. Have a great day.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa P. in Florida. Next, we've got Michelle C., followed by Dion R. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, this is Michelle C. in California. In the reading today, what really struck me was the word tactile or tactful. And as I was thinking about one of the resentments I have is this woman in our school community who may be one of us, maybe an addict, maybe a compulsive overeater. She certainly has put on quite a bit of weight this past year, but she seems to be so negative and so unhappy, and what comes across as being really focused on trivial things. And so I've been praying the sick person's prayer for her and for my resentment that I have of her, of her attitude, or of our interactions and her interactions with the people in the community in our school. As I was praying this prayer for her, it occurred to me that she might be one of us, and it's definitely it's definitely helping to finally switch in my mind, seeing her as someone who was, really calling out for love and for help and support. And so for me, I'm looking for, to have tact to talk to, and for God's will to see if it makes sense to have a conversation with her about what I'm doing, perhaps, about being in OA and working the steps, and how I've really brought me closer to God and to peace of mind and focus on the bigger picture of things. And so I'm letting this be God's will and praying for it. And just, I'm so grateful for these directions that are here in the big book as they talk about making amends and really seeing the bigger picture of things. Because, as we talk about at the end of the meeting, you can't transmit what you don't got. And I certainly know that I'm struggling still to pick up a tool instead of the food. Especially I've been kind of bored lately with my daily routine activities. Work's been boring. Dishes are boring. Kids' activities are boring. And I'm seeing myself turn to food again, where it's like, oh, maybe I could put some fresh herbs on this salad instead of turning to my higher power for kind of comfort and ease of, my function here in life, which is to be a parent and to be an employee and to be a wife and a mother. So grateful for all these directions that are here in the big book, and then for this forum to be able to discuss this out loud, and for all those who encourage me to share. So thank you very much. This is Michelle C. in California.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Michelle C. in California. Glad you're here and glad you shared. Next, we've got Dion R. from Georgia. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Stephanie, and good morning, family. Thank you for allowing me to be able to share on this spiritual program. This what stand out to me is even reminded me of the very dollar and 23 cents. It was either $1.23 or $1.26 that a cashier overpaid me back in the 90s, right? And I remember just thinking, like, it's just, you know, I had worked this 12 set, talked to my sponsor. I'm like, she gave me more. before it was like, okay, 5 or 10. I know I have to tell them they gave me too much. But $1.23, my sponsor said, does it bother you? And I was like, not really, which meant it did to me. And it kept stayed on my conscience. I got in the car, put that gas in that car, and drove all the way on the other side of that community to give them that dollar trick. She looked at me like I was crazy, of course. But that's because I told her I'm working a spiritual program. It has nothing to do with, for real, my morals at that time. It was just, God was building it. But at that time, it was just because of this, the spiritual way of life. I did not want to go back to the same behaviors that he had delivered me from. So that part stood out to me today, is being reminded that I'll go to any length to see if I have a valid reason, yes. And also, do I want to, to me, that was insensitive, tactful, and considerate. It was definitely humbling. But what it did, that adventure, that experience, reminded me that the next time my conscience is not clear, no, thank you. $1 million, I'm sorry. That's just the way I'm at right now. I wasn't always this place, right? There's times when, you know, I had to reason with myself. But to get this, to know right here, it says we should be sensible, tactful, considerate, without being servile scraping. That's, I dealt with that, where people want me to be servile scraping because they felt like I was making them in. But there's God's people, right? I'm one of God's people. That's who I am, right? I stood on my feet. And I don't crawl today. And it's not that I'm bragging or boasting. He don't want me to crawl. Because when I get to crawling too much, that gets to me is ungratefulness. So I got to stay in the middle of the program and remind me this is spiritual. It has nothing to do with, thank God for all the rest. But right now, the spiritual program is keeping me alive. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. Thanks, Steph.
Thank you so much, DNR from Georgia. We got time for probably two more. Who would like to share? Please.
Hi, Ms. S. from Oregon.
Okay. Who was the first person? I didn't catch you.
Lorraine W. from outside of Pittsburgh.
Lorraine W. from Pittsburgh. And who was after Lorraine?
Liz S. from Oregon.
Liz S. as in Sam or F. as in Frank?
S is in Sam.
Gotcha. Okay. So we'll go with Lorraine W. followed by Liz S. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, and thank everybody for being on the line today. And I gather we're talking about making amends. And I have an experience that really convinced me that this program worked back in 1999. I came to the program officially in 1984. I had a sponsor, and we went through my steps, and we got to step 8, and I told him I had caused harm where I had punched this guy in the face. It was humiliating because we were in high school, and it was humiliating, and I thought physically I had caused harm. I didn't make apologies because I thought that he had touched me inappropriately. Well, I didn't know if he did or not. I never saw it. I just felt it. But there was a crowd, so it could have been anybody. A crowd of guys behind me. It could have been anybody. Nevertheless, we get to my sponsor, and I tell her about it. She said, so you don't know who touched you? And I said, no. She said, then you need to make amends. You need to find out if he did, and then if he didn't do it, you need to make amends. And I said, well, he's in the Navy. She said, go find his parents. They know his address. And at that time in 1985, I fluffed it off because by that time, program was working. I had released 150 pounds, 25 years old, and I started to coast in that program. I don't need to apologize to this guy. I'm looking good. I can find me some men. So that goes on, and I go through a relapse, and I regain all my weight and went to 300 pounds, and I go back to program again. In 1998 or 99, I'm in a store, and I see these two gorgeous brown-skinned men. And I couldn't even look at them because I'm like, they're not going to look at me. I'm too ugly. By that time, I'm down to 200 pounds. But I just thought I was very ugly. And I heard my name called, but I'm looking around because it couldn't come from those two men. And then I heard my name being called again. And I knew it was from that area, but I'm not looking at them because I'm too afraid. But then as I'm going out the store, I heard my name again, and I turned around. This gorgeous guy's looking at me, and he says, Lorraine, it's me. He's looking dead at me, and he said his name, and I went, oh. Now, I thought he was going to punch me right in that store. That didn't happen. He came up and hugged me, and I knew immediately I was going to have to make those amends that my sponsor told me over 20 years ago to do, or 15 years ago to do. I asked him if he would like to go out, because he told me he had just got back. He just retired from the Navy.
Lorraine, said, that's time.
Oh, okay. It worked out. We're friends. He calls me every day. Bye. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Lorraine W. from Pennsylvania. And Liz S., we got 2 minutes, friend. Go for it.
Okay. I got a two-minute share, so it's perfect. Liz S. from Oregon, recovered compulsive eater. I grew up with a punishing God. If you did something bad, you were going to hell. I'm sure a lot of people can relate. When I was a junior member of a firm, I made a mistake. Another person and I made a mistake on pulling an all-nighter, and we filed some papers improperly. And that resulted in the matter being dismissed. I went to the heads of the firm and I said, I feel like I need to resign. I feel like I need to move on because I hadn't, what I'd done was wrong. And this is just an example of groveling and being servile and scraping that I didn't know not to do before program. And I am so grateful for program to teach me that there is a loving God. There is a loving God, and God wants me to be balanced and understanding of myself and understanding of others and not hit myself too hard on the head with a hammer. Thank you, and I pass.
That was perfect timing, Liz S. from Oregon. Thank you so much. So we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Julie E.B., can you please read a vision for you? I'm sorry. Yeah, Julie E.B. I thought I said the wrong name.
Hi,
Julie,
yes,
can't hear
this
you.
Is Julie. No, this is Julie. I just had
Thank
trouble
you.
Finding my buttons. Let's see. Yes, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the person who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.